Hello and welcome to the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and on ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm Joshua Briscoe, and again today the show is going to be these Chiefs segments from my time on Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A lot going on this Sunday that I've now brought over to you here on the internet. Started off by talking again about Colin Kaepernick and the Chiefs fan response that I got last week from that idea. I think it was very interesting and showed a lot about where Chiefs fans are with not only Colin Kaepernick, but Tyreek Hill, maybe even a little bit about Joe Mixon. Then later on, we'll talk about a potential quarterback the Chiefs could be interested in the draft, some optimism for why the Chiefs will draft a quarterback, some reasoning for why they must, and some more conversation about Tony Romo. Some of the pushback, I think, has been very strong. So let's get into now what happened this Sunday on 810.
What happened last night? This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome to Sports Sunday. I'm Joshua Briscoe. The praise for the show last week came rolling in early and often. When I talked about the Chiefs and Colin Kaepernick, you guys loved it. A few selections from the Facebook comment thread of the podcast includes, I'd rather have Casey Wolf under center than that D-bag. I heard this live and I thought his argument supporting the idea was inarticulate. He just wants attention because no one knows who he is. More on that later. Joshua Briscoe's an idiot. We don't want nor need an un-American moron as our quarterback. No way. Smith is doing just fine. Give him some weapons to throw to. That one was actually the most offensive one to me, just because it shows a patent lack of understanding of football. 810 should be banned from radio. This station's been here a lot longer than I have, dude. No freaking way. Won't even read the article. Wasted enough time typing this response. That one feels sort of intellectually dishonest, frankly. But okay, thank you, sir. He is a disgrace to the human race. The comment thread had 183 instances of the word no. There were flocks of people claiming that this would be the thing that would end the Chiefs fandom. Colin Kaepernick going to the Chiefs. And my own personal favorite, directed to me, consider sticking your head in an oven. So obviously we're going to do the same thing again today, this first segment. Not the same thing, actually. But I have to talk about this, man. I didn't really intend on making a Colin Kaepernick to the Chiefs, like, fantasy situation the main topic of two shows in a row. But I have to, because of you. You did this to me. You reacted so uproariously that I must return fire. Or at least just ask you a couple of questions. If you missed the show last week, or this is the first time hearing the show, welcome. It's not always like this. But I was making the argument last week, there are two ways to win in the NFL right now. You have elite quarterback play, or you have a quarterback that outperforms his cap number. You get value from your quarterback. And I was saying that once Colin Kaepernick is surely released by the San Francisco 49ers, I think he could be a pretty good value for a team like the Chiefs. I also think he makes sense with Andy Reid, whatever. That was the argument that I floated out last week. I never brought up the national anthem thing, but you guys certainly did. So just keep that in mind if you're sick of this story or whatever. Again, you did this to me. Anyway, this is for the people that are saying that Colin Kaepernick would make them stop rooting for the Chiefs. I don't totally understand where you're at, and I think maybe we can understand each other a little bit better today. So try to work with me here. Stick around until we get to a point where we're at least understanding where each other's coming from. Tyreek Hill, star of the team, beat and strangled his pregnant girlfriend. The Chiefs drafted him in the fifth round last year. Anybody think that was a bad pick still? I don't. It might have been the best pick in the draft. You talk about value, getting a guy who fell way too far for his talent. Truly, that was probably the best single pick of the 2017 draft. Because it was throwing out a flyer to get a guy in the fifth round, and you end up getting a Rookie of the Year candidate who is overshadowed in a lot of ways just by the Cowboys. Without the Cowboys rookies being, you know, the first running back taken and the quarterback, Tyreek Hill would have had a really good argument for Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's the guy that Chiefs took. We're all pretty much cool with that at this point, I think. But he obviously comes with that baggage. But now if you're saying in February 2017 that the Chiefs signing Colin Kaepernick would be enough to make you burn all of your Chiefs memorabilia and stop rooting for the team, then I think you're saying that Kaepernick's protest is more personally offensive to you than Tyreek Hill's domestic violence and the Chiefs' support of Hill. That's kind of repulsive, right? Maybe I'm misrepresenting that. I think it's hard to say, yeah, Tyreek Hill, be chanting Tyreek, Tyreek, you know, right before he runs that punt back. And then say, well, but Colin Kaepernick, man, if the Chiefs sign Colin Kaepernick, I will burn my Tyreek Hill jersey. Easy. That seems kind of messed up. And I'm not saying in any way that you have to support Kaepernick's kneeling during the national anthem. I'm never going to argue throughout this whole show, I'm never going to argue that you have to support that. And I'm not saying that you have to be furious about Tyreek Hill either. But if you're furious about Kaepernick and apathetic about Hill, then I think you're either making some really fascinating moral judgments or you're making some really interesting excuses. Now, if your counter-argument to my idea from last week is that you just think that Kaepernick has nothing left in the tank, then fine. That's a fine reason to not go kick the tires on him. But last week I was trying to make the case for why I think he could outperform the contract he'd get from the Chiefs. The Chiefs desperately need value at the quarterback position right now. But if you think he just would not be worth $5 or $6 million per year instead of Alex Smith's 17, then so be it. But if you're one of the people who was commenting on the podcast last week, that's not what you're furious about. I would say one in every 10 comments or so is saying, I just think he's done. You guys are fine. We don't have anything to argue about. Other than, you know, the actual merit of Kaepernick's ability to play quarterback. That's fine. But if you're one of the 9 out of the 10, that's not what is upsetting you. Signing a mediocre player does not make you disavow a franchise that you've rooted for the last 30 years or whatever. So you're doing it based on Kaepernick's politics. And if you disagree with a message or you disagree with his method, that's fine. That's fine. We're already separating Tyreek Hill, the football player, from Tyreek Hill, the guy who punched his pregnant girlfriend in the stomach. But we're not doing that with Colin Kaepernick. And then also somehow I think we're making Kaepernick's quote unquote offense more offensive than Tyreek Hill's. That makes me feel gross. That's gotta feel icky, right? If you're in that group where Colin Kaepernick makes you throw all of your Chiefs stuff into a dumpster and then light it on fire. But Tyreek Hill's domestic abuse was like a one-time thing that he's working through. Come on. But this is another place where it gets uncomfortable. Winning makes people forget. Tyreek Hill was a great draft pick. Okay, probably the best pick in last year's draft. What if the Chiefs did it again with Joe Mixon? Fourth round rolls around this year. Joe Mixon's available. Chiefs need running back help, man. He would fit so well in Andy Reid's offense. He'd be a great value. His domestic abuse thing happened before Tyreek Hill's did. Mixon, you know, paid his price in college football, by being suspended. So So what if the Chiefs do it again with Joe Mixon? What if Joe Mixon and Tyreek Hill revive this offense next year? I think we would be popping bottles for John Dorsey and Andy Reid. I really do. I think we'd be saying, oh, Andy Reid just really knew how to bring these guys in and really be a mentor to them and keep them on the straight and narrow. Goodbye them. Goodbye Andy Reid. And good for John Dorsey for finding that value and going and getting it. What if Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback of that offense? Or if Colin Kaepernick was just the quarterback of an offense with just Tyreek Hill and Joe Mixon somewhere else? If Kaepernick quarterbacked that team to a Super Bowl, I think like 80% of you would suddenly start getting a lot quieter about your disdain for him. And the other 20% of you in this fake math situation would be effectively saying that you're willing to overlook the domestic abuse of Tyreek Hill, but not the protest of Colin Kaepernick. And again, that's gross. Not that you have to agree with Colin Kaepernick. Not that you have to excuse Tyreek Hill. But if you're going to overlook one, but not the other, you're saying that the one you're overlooking is the lesser offense. I don't know if you can say that punching your pregnant girlfriend is a lesser offense than a protest. But it makes some of you more personally uncomfortable. The domestic abuse of someone else that you don't know, that you've never met, you never will meet. I can't even remember Tyreek Hill's girlfriend's name. That's all very distant. The way we know her is the girlfriend that Tyreek Hill hit. But if you have a lot emotionally tied to the flag, the national anthem, the country, well, then all of a sudden Colin Kaepernick is acting against you. And I think you've got to separate that a little bit and say, wait a second, how am I making my moral judgments here? Also, this separation that we do of athletes and from their beliefs, we separate those things all the time, all over the place. And this part is for liberals and conservatives and independents and the politically apathetic. This is literally everyone has a place in this next statement, okay? Perk up here, ready? LeBron James went out and campaigned for Hillary Clinton in Ohio. Tom Brady had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker. Did you hear any conservatives in Cleveland or any liberals in New England refusing to celebrate those championships? I think Ohio went Republican in the election. I know the Northeast is widely liberal. Those guys were doing it in the quote-unquote wrong markets for those stances. But there was the one like SI article or something about the Patriots and Donald Trump. That got a little bit of run for like a couple of days. But man, you win the championship. Who cares? You don't have to know my politics for this next statement to mean something here. Tom Brady could be the Chiefs quarterback while wearing a Make America Great Again hat over his helmet. LeBron James could be on my NBA team with I'm with her on the back of his jersey. And I would take both of those guys 100% of the time. 100%. And so would you. So maybe you've got something else attached to Kaepernick and the anthem. But I think what it really is right now, he's not good enough for you to sort of put aside your own personal interests. But you'll do it for just about anything if the guy's good enough for your team. Also, I'm not saying you have to let athletes be your personal examples of morality or that you have to let them tell you how to vote. I'm certainly not going to vote based off of what my favorite player says. I'm certainly not going to let my team's kick returner determine my morality. I'm an independent being beyond those things. And so I'm not bothered whenever... You get the Chiefs. I think Ja Reed had a bunch of Donald Trump tweets or something last year. I wanted to talk to Ja Reed about it. I think those kind of conversations are interesting, as you know, what's it like being in this atmosphere? You're in a locker room with 50 plus guys and you've got all these different political opinions and you're making yours known while a lot of people are being quiet about it. What's that dynamic? I think that's interesting, but But if Ja Reed is the best right tackle on the Chiefs, he's not now anymore, obviously, because Mitchell Schwartz. But if Ja Reed's the best right tackle on the Chiefs, I'll take him. If some enormous Hillary Clinton fanboy is the best left tackle on the Chiefs, I don't know what Eric Fisher's politics are, but we're going to make Eric Fisher a giant Hillary Clinton fan right now, for the sake of my analogy. Then, man, I'll take it. You can tell me right now, Mitch Morse was like huge into Gary Johnson. I'd be like, sweet, man, you're great at playing center. Ideally, we got to be looking around to see parents and coaches and siblings and teachers being the moral guardians of our children, of our youth, of ourselves. You would never put Tyreek Hill in that group. You'd be saying, I'm setting my moral compass to the example set by the fastest guy I could find. Like, that's silly. So there's the argument for Tyreek Hill, for not worrying about it. You're building a football team. You're not trying to elect the next Supreme Court justice. But if you're doing that for Tyreek Hill and you're not doing that for Colin Kaepernick, if you're calling Colin Kaepernick a piece of bleep on the Facebook comments, as choruses of you were, but you're calling Tyreek Hill the team's MVP and nothing more, then I don't know what you're doing. I'm just finally at some point hitting a disconnect where Kaepernick's unforgivable and Tyreek Hill, you know, has done everything right since he got to Kansas City. And there's a cutoff point for all of us, right? Like, eventually you just can't take a guy on your team, and that's fine. Maybe it's murder, though, like, Ray Lewis, whatever, Marvin Harrison, okay. Well, I think for a lot of us, I think Aaron Hernandez, if Aaron Hernandez got out of jail tomorrow and had a private workout and teams were convinced that he could catch go for 1,000 yards, catch 12 touchdowns next year, I think there'd be teams that would be like, well, what if we said he was in anger management classes? What if we had him do community service? Like, he killed like 3 or 4 people at least. But who could cover that guy? So I don't know where that line is. But for most of the NFL, it's definitely not domestic abuse or sexual assault or steroids. Some of you now are telling me that your line of unforgivability is a protest. So be it. But at least understand what it is that you're saying whenever you say Colin Kaepernick would be the last straw in my Chiefs fandom. A couple other things I need to refute here, and then we can move on. Next segment, we'll talk about Bruce Weber. Number one, I'm talking about this again this week because of the response to what happened last week, not because, as many of you have argued, because I'm desperate for your attention. I am, in fact, desperate for your attention, but I'd rather be heard and liked, I think. And a bunch of you hate my guts currently, so that'd be a bad business move for me. But again, I just want to be, you know, want to be heard, want to make a name for myself. As
I figured you would like people hating you.
I like people knowing who I am, but man, I know you don't know me. By the way, Charlie Carlin ran on the board. I'm sorry, Charlie. I'm in a zone today. I've been marinating in this for a week now, just like asking questions at the sky. But I know you don't know me. I'm okay with that, man. I've been here on Sunday mornings for like 5 or 6 shows. I don't expect you to know me. I expect you to listen before you comment, but that's also obviously a request that is never going to be fully heard. Whatever. I'm happy to have attention. I don't really want to be that guy that everyone hates on Sunday morning. That's not appealing. Whatever. Second thing, a bunch of comments, I think even a caller last week, characterized Kaepernick as a distraction, as a selfish guy, as a bad teammate, as a bad leader. And I can't believe I forgot this last week whenever somebody called in and said, yeah, you can't have a quarterback, though, be doing this kind of stuff. He's a distraction, shows poor leadership skills. Back in December, Kaepernick was given the Lynn Eshman Award, which Pro Football Focus described as the most prestigious team honor, which is voted upon by players. The award is given annually to the player who embodies Eshman's inspirational and courageous play. Does that sound like a divided locker room? Does that sound like a guy who doesn't have the respect of his teammates? Team had a vote. Who gets the award for prestigious team? That's prestigious team honor. Who embodied inspirational and courageous play on and off the field or whatever? That's just the facts. That's just something that the Niners did. Third thing, Kaepernick took a huge step back whenever he got separated from Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. And some of you are saying, yeah, well, what is he without Jim Harbaugh? Well, with Chip Kelly, not much. But what would he be with the next best guy to be working with you as a quarterback? What other coach would you think could get the best out of a quarterback that's been struggling lately? Andy Reid would be a great fit for Kaepernick, and Kaepernick would be a great fit for Andy Reid. He's more aggressive than Alex Smith is. Andy Reid needs to be pushed a little. Colin Kaepernick's been a little all over the place. Andy Reid can help refine him as a quarterback. I feel like that match makes a lot of sense. And again, last week I talked about the math of it, saying that every penny under $9 million you would sign him for would be money in the Chiefs' pocket to go give Eric Berry that extension, or to bring in another right guard, or whatever it is that you feel like the Chiefs need to spend money on. And then also, Kaepernick would make a lot of sense as the backup next year, ideally behind a guy like Pat Mahomes. That's it. That's what I got. If you want to talk about that, don't wait until the podcast comes out and then comment into nothingness, because I'm not going to respond to every Facebook comment. I'm not going to respond to any Facebook comments. But I'd love to talk to you if you agree or disagree or just have a thought. 913-3-810-810 is the phone number if you want to have that conversation about how we're making those moral judgments between Tyreek Hill and Colin Kaepernick and Joe Mixon and burning all of your Chiefs memorabilia. We can talk about it. Otherwise, when we come back, we'll talk about like Bruce Weber or something. This is Sports Sunday.
Welcome to the end of the weekend.
Please don't let today be Monday. Please don't let today be Monday. Please, 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 please don't let today be Monday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
And then what followed was bad even by Monday standards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, hour number three on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Joshua Briscoe. If you don't hate me or this show, I'm on Twitter at JB Briscoe. The thing that I think I do most often and maybe enjoy doing most on Twitter is talking Chiefs with other Chiefs fans. And the topic of Tony Romo has lived on for weeks now. He keeps showing up in everybody's speculation about where Tony Romo is likely to land. Peter King recently had a little write-up that said not only was he thinking that it was a match, but he said he had been hearing that Romo and the Chiefs were a likely fit. I think Andy Reid and John Dorsey know exactly what Alex Smith is, and they know what Tony Romo might be. And I think it's interesting that we as Chiefs fans, I've been a Chiefs fan since I was old enough to watch sports. I am, more than anything else I'm a fan of the Chiefs. So I'm right here with you on how we as Chiefs fans operate. But I think we as Chiefs fans have gotten really used to the safe move. Maybe it's out of fear of having another 2-14 year. But at this point, we've had three Alex Smith years, 3 years with the safe move. And it brought regular season success, a tiny bit of postseason success, really one instance of postseason success, and nothing more. Now, you can say also maybe to include the Chiefs right now as an organization where people want to be playing. But as far as actual measured success goes, the Chiefs haven't gone anywhere beyond that one playoff win in Houston, which is something. It ends the drought. But that's all it's ever done. I think we have to recondition ourselves as Chiefs fans a little bit to be a little bit more willing to take that risk. We all want the Chiefs to take the risk as far as drafting a quarterback in the first round, right? Are we all on the same page there? Everybody wants the Chiefs to draft a quarterback at least in the first two rounds. Because Alex Smith would cost like $20 million next year, and the cap hit for cutting him then would be like $2 million or something that feels like chump change. That's been how this contract was always meant to roll out. I was saying this in the second year of his deal when people were freaking out. He's going to be the quarterback through 2017 in all likelihood. They could cut him now, but it would be expensive, and you know, your replacement would be Colin Kaepernick. And I don't think that will happen, although I think there's an interesting argument to be made for it. I digress. I did that in the first segment. You can go listen to the podcast. But why now, with this option on the table, with the chance of going with Romo for a higher ceiling and more uncertainty, why are so many of us reacting with such angst? And so much, no, get him away from here. I don't want him on this team. Tony Romo has this injury history. That's true. But it's also been kind of a strange amalgamation of injuries. There's been, you know, the clavicle and the back and like the finger, I think. He hasn't blown out his left knee five straight times. And there is a risk to be had there. I don't think I would give up draft picks to go get Tony Romo. I would give up draft picks to go get your future quarterback. But if the Cowboys end up ultimately cutting him, which I think is probably what is most likely to happen, you bring him in and say, listen, we're going to figure out a way to set up this money to where maybe we're paying you for 2 years. Or we're playing you for 2 years and paying you for four. You know, they end up cutting him after the second season and then have to carry a little bit of his dead cap money in the future like they do with all big contracts currently in the NFL. You can figure out that math however you may. But you have to eventually make a call on what you want from this Chiefs team as a Chiefs fan. If they could keep Alex Smith and get Tony Romo, I think everyone would have reason to be very happy and very excited, because if Tony Romo gets hurt and he's out for 6 weeks, then who's the guy stepping in? The guy that you were thought was going to start anyway. But that's very expensive. That probably costs you Dontari Poe and somebody else. I think the Chiefs will figure out a way. You extend the right guys, you make the right tough decisions, and you can make that work. But it's going to eventually cost you. I think they would make it work with Eric Berry. I think if you were to leave Alex Smith here, bring Tony Romo in, you could fit in Eric Berry, but that'd be just about it. Which means those 10 draft picks would have to be put to good use, because you're starting to make a lot of tough decisions with some veterans who are at just any cap number that's a little bit more than their value. This is why this value game is so difficult. Or you do what makes most sense to me when you're giving Tony Romo a 2-year deal. You say, listen, this year you're getting paid pennies. Next year is when you're getting the money. Next year the Chiefs won't have Alex Smith. And I am praying they have a quarterback going into a second year. So what if next year you're paying Tony Romo $18 million? Big number. but for this year, you're paying him like six. You set this up in such a way with the guaranteed money to where you're paying him reasonable starting quarterback money for 2 years, but you're really backloading it. The Chiefs have some flexibility then. But if you really want to make sure you're building the best team possible, you probably have to lose Alex Smith to bring in Tony Romo. This is when the real math has to happen with what you're willing to risk and what you're trying to get back. If you do say we got to let Smith go, you're going to be dealing with a situation where you're probably going to be starting a backup a couple of times. The Chiefs did it this year with Nick Foles, though. It's not unknown territory, and Andy Reid has shown a propensity to pay a backup. He paid Nick Foles this last season. He paid Chase Daniel for the two seasons prior. This time, that guy's probably a rookie. And if you're part of the camp that says that Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Kaiser needs a year to develop behind a guy, you don't want to throw him into the fire because Tony Romo got hurt. But what's the floor for this team if they have to play with a rookie quarterback who's not ready? Maybe damaging the quarterback, his confidence, his progression, whatever, that would be bad. Then what? Then you're a 6-win team, a 5-win team for a season. You get a higher draft pick. You get a second year of your quarterback and hope that he's taking strides for that second season. What's the ceiling if you get Tony Romo and he stays healthy? You are a Super Bowl contender. You're an actual Super Bowl contender. Play the odds. What are the chances that Tony Romo plays 14 games this season? Is it 40%? More or less than that? Give him a 40% chance. Give him a 40% chance to play 14 games next year. And I'll take that. You're basically flipping a coin. But the 40% of the time that it comes up heads, your team is an actual contender. I think that's worth it. I think that's worth it when the other option is just a year of Alex Smith. Or there's one other option. You're drafting a guy regardless. And if you say, all right, we're drafting a guy in the first and a guy in like the third, like Washington did with RG3 and Kirk Cousins. Then next year you're saying, we are not spending money on the quarterback position. Not on a backup, not on a starter. We're going with 2 second-year guys next season. And then this year, you're sort of just punting with Alex Smith. You're hoping that the season goes roughly the same way it did this year. But this year, the Chiefs got pretty lucky by the end of it because Derek Carr got hurt. They had plenty of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and you lost Jamal Charles. But you're just basically trotting the same team out again next year and hoping the injuries break in your favor. And that's kind of defeating. We've seen this team for a couple of years already. Last season was sort of giving the previous season's team another shot. So forgive me for not being thrilled about that prospect. But if you do that, you just trot out what you got. Then going into 2018, you're finally doing the value thing. You're finally saying, all right, we're going to do what the Raiders did. We're going to do what the Vikings tried to do. We're going to do what the Seahawks did so successfully. Keeping in mind that Russell Wilson was a third-round draft pick. We're going to do what the Seahawks did. We're going to have a few million dollars invested in our quarterback position, which means we're going to have stupid money invested in the offensive line, in the weapons around the quarterback, in the defensive side of the ball. The Chiefs could have, if the Chiefs were to go into 2018 with nothing but second-year guys and then a third stringer of no importance, it'd be a gamble. It'd be a risk. You'd be hoping that Pat Mahomes or the third-round guy really hit it big. But the Chiefs are at a point where they have to gamble now. You can gamble for this year with Tony Romo. You can gamble for next year with two rookies. At this point, I'll take either. I can see the pros and cons of both. At this point, I think I would lean towards saying, give me a quarterback in the first and the third round. Give me your future franchise quarterback and the backup plan, no pun intended. Then we can go into 2018, and you go get the two biggest free agents on the market because you can afford to do that. Because Washington's paying Kirk Cousins $25 million. You're paying Patrick Mahomes and Chad Kelly like five combined. You got $20 million to play around with? I can work with that.
I personally think, can't stand the Tony Romo stuff. And
why,
think
though?
Think it's about the odds of a Powerball, going to the gambling reference. The risk is not worth the reward. And you laid out pretty much every reason why and everything. But if you're saying Tony, let me just get this straight real quick. If you're saying to get Tony Romo, Tony Romo and Alex Smith not on the same team. Like, you're not both with the Chiefs, right?
It would be very difficult. It would cost you like $9 million elsewhere. You could do it, but it would cost you that investment. It would cost you all of your cap space.
So we pretty much determined that Nick Foles
gone.
Does this mean Tyler Bray's gone too?
I don't know. I can't tell what the Chiefs think of Tyler Bray. They gave him an extension for a couple million dollars, but they didn't trust him enough to let him be the backup last year. So I don't know. It's probably still drafting a guy.
I just don't understand what you expect to get more from Tony Romo. Alex Smith led you to a 12-4 season. Yeah, can't win in the playoffs, but what are you going to do? Have Alex Smith lead you to another 12-4, 11-5, 10-6 season, and then bring Tony Romo in for the playoffs? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, it wouldn't be worth it. And what I'm also worried about is what we wouldn't be able to get, like, and you mentioned this too, what we wouldn't be able to get or sign or draft or whatever if we signed Tony Romo, like, mainly Eric Berry, even though you said it could work.
Yeah.
It'd be difficult, but it could work. I think, and I heard someone say this, that they would rather have Tony Romo than re-sign Eric Berry, which made me want to tear my hair out.
Quarterback position's important, man. I think you have two fundamental misunderstandings.
I just don't know what you expect to get more from him.
I think there are two things that we fundamentally disagree on. One, Tony Romo is miles better than Alex Smith as a quarterback. It's not even close. And if we had to get into real semantics, if you're listening now or thinking, what an idiot, I'm not going to be able to convince you of what I've seen over the course of the last several years of watching both of those guys play football. That's just something that I need you to accept as a fact. Or go watch for yourself, and then you'll come away thinking the same thing. The other thing is the idea that Alex Smith led the Chiefs to a 12-4 record last year. No, he didn't. He was a piece of the machine that ended up with a 12-4 record. I don't know if Tony Romo makes the Chiefs better than did I say 12-14? I might have given the Chiefs 26 games last year.
I don't know, but that is a fair point. But Alex Smith technically did not.
Yeah, he didn't lead the Chiefs to a 12-4 record. Maybe you argue Eric Berry did. I would say that the defense did, and Andy Reid did. Tony Romo, does he make him a 13-3 team? Yeah, I think that seems about right. Maybe they lose one of the games that they would have. Maybe he throws a bad pick somewhere else. Maybe they're 12-4 again next year with Tony Romo. That's not where the Romo signing would actually be justified or not. It gets justified in the playoffs. And again, there are two ways I think you can win, and both ways are gambles, and the Chiefs have got to commit to one of them this offseason. This offseason, the Chiefs have to put their chips down on one of two options. It's you gamble on Tony Romo giving you the elite quarterback play that you need to succeed in the playoffs, or it's putting your chips down on two rookies that you draft. So you say, next year, we're paying jack bleep for quarterbacks next season because we're spending all of our money on the defense. We're making an elite, terrifying defense. We're making this offensive line impenetrable. We're giving these young guys every option they've got. And then you're going to have a quarterback competition between your first-round quarterback and your third or fourth-round or fifth-round quarterback. And those are the guys that you're gambling on. But then you're gambling on that value. If the Chiefs sign an $8 or $9 million backup for their rookie, they're cutting out what already had a chance to make them something special. I have no interest in whatever next year's Nat Flynn is. Don't give me Ryan Fitzpatrick to back up some rookie. Just go for it. Draft your RG3. Draft your Kirk Cousins. Hope one of them is good. Hope one of them exceeds the value they're going to cost. If you don't want Tony Romo, that's fine. But that's the option we have. The Chiefs have to be going at. The option we have to be rooting for if Tony Romo is not where they go. You get one more year of Alex Smith, then you bring in those two rookies, you go for the value. But I think we're fans of an NFL organization right now that hates taking risks, so we've started hating taking risks also. And Andy Reid seems like a guy who hates taking risks, but that's we've seen the Chiefs, the risk-averse Chiefs, have been in front of our faces for the last, decades. But especially this kind of version of the Chiefs for the last 3 years. And the risk-averse Chiefs have won virtually nothing. They've won one meaningful game. And that doesn't mean that these 3 years have been a total failure. But it does mean that this experiment didn't work. Building as good of a team as you can around a quarterback that is a neutral factor, not harming the team, not making the guys around him better, a neutral factor, paying him $15 to $20 million a year, that experiment didn't work. Because there is no mid-level market for quarterbacks right now, and that's why Alex Smith and Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Fitzpatrick have all made a lot of money. Because you're either, Jay Cutler, even like when Matt Flynn got his contract, you are either a totally forgettable journeyman, or you're paid like an all pro, or you're a rookie. So that's why finding that value is so difficult. If Alex Smith got paid what his actual value was, this whole team would look so different. If Alex Smith got paid $10 million a year, if his cap number this year was $10 million instead of $17, $7 million can buy you some interesting things in the NFL. Although this last year, basically, this year would have bought you like Nick Foles with his elevated contract, which was always nuts, but whatever. It's all about that value. And the Chiefs have a chance to do it. They have a chance to either get the value or to hope that Tony Romo is elite. If you're Romo risk-averse, so be it, but you've got to go the other direction.
I would just much rather gamble on the draft than on an old injury-prone Tony Romo.
You got to sit through another year of mediocre Alex Smith.
That's fine, and I've accepted that.
Then you're punching your ticket.
Especially with we've mentioned this before, with the tough schedule we have next year.
The whole AFC West has the same schedule.
No, I know, I'm just saying. But, eat a year, and then... Hope we'd hit big this year.
It's not gonna look like eating a year, because it's going to be in the mix of the AFC West, but Derek Carr and the Raiders, assuming they don't if they don't pay him this offseason, they're gonna have the flexibility to keep investing that money in the defense and the O-line, and they'll take a step forward, and we're gonna be sitting here halfway through the season saying, "Come on, give us Mahomes now." And that's never going to happen, which probably shouldn't. But that's fine. You can take that side of it. But at this point, I can only find those two sides. Romo, or you go as cheap as possible with your quarterbacks next year and hope one of them ends up becoming a good rookie. Being Teddy Bridgewater at worst.
And if they do find a guy that they want, use those draft picks and move
up.
You got 10.
Sure. Move up and go get them.
I don't know if that's the most
for a team,
but that's a lot.
Move up and go get them twice. Move up and go get your first round guy. And if you're in the third round, then you're afraid that the Browns are about to do the double quarterback thing. Hop up over the Browns and go get your next option.
I just think using the draft and using the amount of picks we have to move up, whatever, is... to go back to the gambling reference, is like doubling down on aces and eights versus Tony Romo is like hitting on 19 and hoping for a two.
I mean, I think you're giving Tony Romo way too unreasonable. I think you're giving Romo unreasonably low odds, and there are a whole lot more like 2-7 offsuits in the draft than there are aces and eights. Did that gambling metaphor work out okay for everybody?
No, you mixed poker and blackjack, but yeah.
Okay,
that's
sorry.
Okay. I understood what you were saying.
You were going, I see what you were doing there.
Yeah.
I don't really play blackjack. I don't really play poker either, but I understand poker. Okay, so now I am curious what actual real-life Chiefs fans think. If you're interested, 913-3810-810. You can come and put your chips on Tony Romo. You can put them on the first and fourth round rookies and give yourself another year of Alex Smith. You can come up with something else. If you have a third option, I'm listening. But those are the two that I've come up with so far, and I think the Chiefs have to go in one of those directions. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about one of the rookie options coming up for the Chiefs. Maybe look at another draftee that could be going in the first round to Kansas City. Also, again, I've got a communication theory to talk about to make myself sound smarter than I actually am. This is Sports Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Charlie Carlin on the other side of the glass. Over on the Sports Radio 810 WHB Facebook page, I posted the podcasts of the first hour segments, which includes my response to the responses that I got last week about Colin Kaepernick. And that has been largely ignored, which I didn't expect, and is fine. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Maybe I made more sense this week to you. Or there's just less, like, mob fury. That's fine. What's happened instead is that, man, a lot of you hated Bill Walton. There are a lot of you guys. So I eventually just turned the TV down. Kansas fans want to actually watch the game. Did not care to see him change his T-shirt on split screen. That's fair.
I personally think he's funny. He can be a little too much sometimes, and I did not. And I'll agree with our first caller. I didn't like the split screen thing, even though it was hilarious that he was wearing that tie dye shirt, and it was kind of disturbing that he changed right then and there. But
I guess here's the thing that where I split ideologically with a lot of sports fans currently, and even a place where I think Charlie, you and I have a little bit. I think we're closer than most people, but I think we have a little bit of deviance here. I take the coverage of sports seriously, like the fact that I'm doing this show, I take seriously. I prepared a lot for this show. I take this position seriously. But I don't take sports all that seriously. And I don't know why that is for me and not for other people. It's still a bunch of people playing a game. It's still an entertainment product, as one of the callers from the first hour pointed out, the first letter of ESPN stands for entertainment. It's entertainment even before sports. It's all an entertainment process. We're all watching reality shows with no scripts. I mean, that's how I see sports still. And I will analyze it seriously, and I will break it down seriously when need be, and I will talk about it as if it matters, because it does to a lot of us. But I'm not very obsessive over the idea of, man, we just have to take sports totally seriously. And I know some of you take it very seriously for different reasons. I'm not totally sure why I'm different in that way, or why you're different in that way. Sometimes I wonder, maybe it's because I'm interested, like, in politics also, and I can look at politics. Oh, well, politics are kind of serious. Sports are really the place for it to be fun. I'm more interested in having sports be fun and my politics be serious. But sometimes politics have been fun for the last couple of years. They've been entertaining also, so maybe that's not even the case. Maybe I just want things to be fun. But I know a lot of you hated Bill Walton, and a lot of you really want to sort of absorb your sports as seriously as possible. I can't relate to that. That's fine that you're like that. It's fine that you take your sports seriously. But I just have a hard time really relating to that. So that's the disconnect, I think, between us. Also, like, I was eating some Greek yogurt, and I was wondering why the fruit's always on the bottom. Why can't they just mix the fruit in? I don't need to stir it. I don't need to stir the yogurt myself. I just want to eat it. And I was like, I don't have that much time between breaks, but I was hungry. I'm like, oh, I got some Greek yogurt in the refrigerator. But now, because I had to take the time to stir it, I've got like four bites left, and it's
God, such a comment from a lazy millennial. Gosh.
And maybe that also...
The worst, aren't they?
Charlie is referencing something that happened the first hour of millennials getting blamed for a lot of stuff with Bill Walton, and it was very confusing. I just didn't totally get it. But maybe there's something generational to it also, where I want everything to be... Or I don't want to take everything so seriously in the concept or in the context, excuse me, in the context of a game. I don't know. We all sort of split off somewhere, I guess. Let's go to the phones really quick. 913-3810-810. Gavin, you're on Sports Sunday. What's up?
Let me reemphasize your thoughts. I travel the country as a living.
Uh-huh.
And I catch up on the app. And I listen 6 to 6, all three shows, every day, every week. Saran took me to the barn on Stump the Chumps Friday.
No, I'm sorry.
But I'll tell you what, I listen to other shows in other cities, and there is no better network than Sports Radio 810 WHB. They get so down on themselves, and they're like, Woe is me. You guys are the home park team. And I'm from Denver, so I'm a Bronco fan.
Oh, wow. That means even more now.
I've lived here for 31 years. And this year, I'm going to break the bank, and I'm going to hope you make the Super Bowl.
I appreciate that.
Because I would love to see it. I'd love to see my friends happy. I'd love to see you guys make the Super Bowl and win it. Because we're going to rebuild, us Broncos guys. I've been a Bronco fan since 1960. I'm an old guy. But you guys could do great shows. I mean, that's why I'm sorting laundry right now, and I'm turning on WHB. And if people out there don't wonder what a gem they have, a radio station, go over the other ones. So that's all I got to say. And Saran, I'm going to get you next Friday.
Well, Gavin, thank you for the call. I appreciate that, and I'm obviously super happy to be a little part of that. That's very nice. That's a very nice call.
Caller of the day.
I hope everybody. Right there. I hope literally everyone who works here heard that, because that's a nice little kind of pick me up, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got to feel better about yourself now.
Saran should be scared too. For next
that's
Friday.
True. Everybody should be happy except for Saran. Right. Saran should be petrified because there's something coming. Yeah. Thank you, Gavin. I appreciate that. Happy to be a part of it. I feel validated now. Except for still get this freaking yogurt with the peach at the bottom. You want to talk about DeShone Kizer really quick? Walter Football, I think it's walterfootball.com, but the site is called Walter Football. You can Google it, I'm sure. They do mock drafts, and they update them frequently, and they're all free to view, and they have really good analysis, and I think they do a really good job over there. And one of their recent mock drafts had the Chiefs at 27 taking DeShone Kizer, the quarterback, out of Notre Dame. And I'm going to just read this bit of analysis that they have here, because I think it's interesting, and I think it should revitalize a little bit of hope, again, for those of us who are starting to say, man, I can see it from here. They're going to take an inside linebacker at 27, and on my head, and they're going to take a defensive lineman in the second round, and my head is going to explode. I can see it from here. So here's a little bit of rejuvenation for this really quick. From Walter Football, the Chiefs taking DeShone Kizer from Notre Dame. Andy Reid selected Kevin Cobb with his initial draft choice back in 2007. Donovan McNabb was entrenched as his starter, but he was about to turn 31, and Reid was thinking of the future. Perhaps Reid will make a similar decision at this juncture, as Alex Smith is a few months away from 33. Smith performed poorly this past season, so the Chiefs need to get better at quarterback anyway. Plus, DeShone Kizer seems like a great value at this spot. Kizer has fallen in this mock draft update, but I think this is the right range for him. There's a little bit of evidence that Andy Reid's not afraid to invest in the next guy. And we already know that the Chiefs aren't afraid to draft quarterbacks. We saw them go get Kevin Hogan last year, ultimately decide that Tyler Bray was a better option as a developmental dude, whatever. But Andy Reid has been self-aware enough at the quarterback position to look to the future with his best quarterback, that he's been at the helm of being Donovan McNabb. That's encouraging. I'm encouraged by that. Now, if the Chiefs are in love with Kaiser or in love with Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes or whoever, then I think the Chiefs would even trade up, which is something that I doubt sometimes, but I think if they were in love with one of those guys, they would trade up to go get him. But certainly, if they say, you know what, actually, we think Kaiser's the best guy on the board, but just by a little bit, you know, or we think all these guys are really clumped together really closely, we think all four of these top guys are pretty much the same, then I think they'll just sit at 27, and as long as there are still quarterbacks on the board as they get closer and closer to 27, eventually I think they just take the last guy that's there, the last guy that they believe in, and then you've got your future. And there are a lot of teams where I think I would be very worried about that idea of saying, just take the quarterback in front of you. But I don't have that fear, that concern with Andy Reid, because I think Andy Reid can say, this guy is qualified to be taken here. This guy is not. This guy is. This guy is not. This guy is. And then he'll develop the guys, one of the guys that he thinks actually has a chance at being developable. So I think the Chiefs with Andy Reid, if you're going to turn him over, turn this new quarterback coming in over to Andy Reid, ideally the two new quarterbacks coming over, first and fourth round, first and fifth round, first and third round, whatever. Turn them over to Andy Reid, say, develop these guys. Let's see how it goes. You got a year. You got a year to make one of these guys starter quality. Because next year one of them is starting and the other one is backing up the other guy. So good luck. I have some faith in Andy Reid for that. I think he'll identify the quarterbacks that he can work with, but I think he'll work with one of them, ideally two of them, and there's a little bit of hope for the future again.
I am a little worried about how far the Chiefs are going to have to trade up to get the guy they want.
Tell me more about that while I shovel this yogurt into my mouth. Go ahead.
Look at all the teams that need quarterbacks. Like the Bears, that's disgusting.
That's true.
Don't do that into the mic.
Go ahead, keep talking.
The Bears are done with Jay Cutler and are getting rid of him, so they need a quarterback. The Jets are god-awful. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to be
their
starter.
I think we should call him
Ritz-Patrick.
No. Ritz-Packet.
Ritz-Packet, okay.
It's like a packet of the crackers?
Yeah. I like it.
Ryan Ritz-Packet.
And then obviously the Browns need one. They've got the first and the 12th pick,
I
believe.
They've got Kevin Hogan. They're fine.
And I don't think they'll use the first pick on a quarterback, but they're going to be, after all the, I think the quarterbacks that are going to win the top 10, they're going to be pressured to take one at 12.
I would agree with that.
So are the Chiefs going to have to trade up with the Browns at that 12th pick or earlier than that? Or, because what if all the quarterbacks are gone? And then what do the Chiefs do at 27? They're going to take another corner?
Well, like, I would be okay with that.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if all the quarterbacks were gone, I would still be a little bit upset about them not stepping up to get a guy. So let's play this game, okay? Using Walter Football, they've got four guys who seem to be the top chunk here. Now, their projected rounds and everything are all over the place. Because Deshaun Watson's projected round is first through fourth. That's insane. But the top four guys they have here, they have Mitch Trubisky out of North Carolina, Deshaun Kaiser out of Notre Dame, Pat Mahomes out of Texas Tech, and Deshaun Watson out of Clemson. What food did Beards bring?
He bought Smash Burger.
Very good. You owe me breakfast again. We'll explain that later. Don't explain it right now. Those four guys, okay? You with me? There are four guys with like potential first-round grades before you drop down to Davis Webb out of California. Give me those four guys. Then we can literally just run down the first round. It's not the best radio of all time, but let's do it really quick. Cleveland, they're going to need a quarterback. San Francisco, going to need a quarterback. Chicago, yep. Jacksonville, possibly. Tennessee, no. Jets, yes. Chargers. The Chargers are in a similar situation as the Chiefs are. So what, six so far? Carolina, no. Cincy, should be, probably won't be. Buffalo, probably not. New Orleans, probably not. Cleveland again. Arizona is in a similar situation as the Chiefs are. Then you go to Indy, who's fine. Philly, who has their guy. Baltimore, Washington, Tennessee again. Tampa Bay, Denver, Detroit, Miami, the Giants, Oakland, Houston, Seattle, Kansas City. It's a lot of picks in front of the Chiefs and a lot of teams that need the quarterback. But I also think there's kind of like a general fear among NFL teams sometimes as far as actually going up and getting a guy, or even like going up and staying where you are and investing in a quarterback and saying, we're going to actually put our chips in here. Even last year, whenever the draft class ends up now looking pretty rough, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz went 1-2. The next quarterback didn't go until Paxton Lynch at 26. Is that right? Yeah. So last year, the third quarterback went one spot ahead of where the Chiefs are picking this year. But again, that quarterback market is very different. I think the fourth quarterback in this draft might have been Christian Hackenberg, who went in the second round of the Jets, and he's not good. So you can play again another type of gamble there. How long do you wait? Do you actually move up? The Chiefs are going to have to make those decisions. I think they're going to do it based off of how many of those top four guys they really, really like. I think they're looking for the future. I think they know what they need. But it depends on exactly how many of those guys are actually tangible options, viable options, to be a starter in 2018. And even then, you're still admitting to taking Alex Smith for one more season, and that's fine. But how much would the Chiefs have to pay to move up from, like, 27 to 12? It'd be gigantic. Although maybe you get a team like the Browns, who says, we're so far behind right now, we've got to pick up more picks. It's all quarterback ranking is also subjective. A weird thing just happened across the room from me with Beards and Charlie. Both of them have been on the phone for a long time. Charlie has been on the phone for like 2 minutes talking to a caller. It's very confusing and very distracting. Beards is now off the phone, about to start shoveling Smashburger in his mouth. What happened there was Beards almost always brings in food because he has like a noon to five shift or whatever today. So we knew he was going to bring food in with him. And so Charlie and I will bet on what Beards is going to bring in. And we did a little draft, and Charlie went Good Sense, and then I went Smashburger and Pie 5, and then Charlie took something else. Can't remember what it was. Doesn't matter, because it was Smashburger, and now Charlie owes me breakfast next weekend.
I know. I'm 0-2 on this competition now. And he always... Good Sense is like his number one thing.
Oh, okay, Charlie, I'm going to give you a little bit of authority back. Do you want to take a break right now, or do you want me to take these calls right now? Give me some guidance, buddy. We're going to take these calls. Let's go first to Joe. Joe, you're on Sports Sunday. What's up?
Hey, y'all were talking about the draft.
Yeah.
I live in Kansas City and in Oklahoma, and I'm an Oklahoma State alumni, and we need a running back. And I'm not talking first round, but Joe Mixon of Oklahoma is wonderful, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and Tyreek Hill worked out okay, so I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Joe. We talked about Mixon a little bit in the very first segment of this show today, because I agree. He'd be a perfect fit in this Andy Reid offense, and Kansas City has shown itself to be pretty forgiving of domestic abuse as long as you score. So we were talking about Colin Kaepernick last week, talked about him again the first segment here today. People freaked out about Kaepernick last week when I brought his name into the conversation. But Tyreek Hill worked out. You want to say this is a good environment for guys with issues like that? I think you are well within your rights to suggest that. And the Chiefs do need help at running back, and that's a guy with positional value, draft value, everything the Chiefs need. Some explosive running back play later in the draft. Joe Mixon could be that guy. They'd have to deal with the backlash for the second straight year. But it worked out with Tyreek Hill. Also, Joe Mixon's offense happened before Tyreek Hill's, I believe. And also his was like way... I mean, the video is bad. But there's video. If there was video of what Tyreek Hill did, he probably wouldn't be in the NFL. We saw the video of Joe Mixon, but the description, compared to the description of Tyreek Hill's offenses, seems like not as big of a deal. Not that it's not a big deal. It's a huge offense. But I think even though Tyreek Hill, Chiefs can say he served his time in college. He'd sat out for a whole year. Man, he's fast.
So, yeah, I think we could absolutely see Joe Mixon end up in Kansas City, and it would make a ton of sense for the Chiefs. Dan, you're on Sports Sunday. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. So, I'm born and raised here in Kansas City. I'm 51 years old, and I tell you, you guys are I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but you guys are dreaming if you think we're going to draft a quarterback. There's one constant denominator here, which is Clark Hunt. Clark was trained by Jack Stedman, and it's all about the business and the dollar cents in my mind. All they care about is being competitive. As long as they can get a retread, you can go all the way back to, the last quarterback they drafted, let's go back to 1983, was Todd Blackledge. They never even gave him a chance. Every time that he made a mistake, they yanked him out, and I believe the quarterback back then was Fuller that they were putting in. But we've had Bono, Gerback, the quarterback that we had from Seattle that came and played. It's just one after the other after the other. They have never shown an all-in commitment to say we want to go win and win it all. And I know it's a hard thing to say because I've been a fan since I was born. But it's just I'm so tired of their mentality of just about making that dollar. And that's how I feel. I know it's a sad state of affairs, I think. I think they don't really care about winning. They care about just putting butts in the seat.
Dan, thank you for the call. A couple of things. I don't have any reason to defend Clark Hunt besides what I actually see, so don't think that I've got him in my ear or something. But I think there are a few things that you can use to refute that idea. First of all, you know what's really good for business? Winning playoff games and championships. Ask the Royals if that's good for business. The best thing for business in football is championships and hosting the Super Bowl. That's got to be something that Clark Hunt wants. The other thing is, you know what's cheap? Young quarterbacks. Paying Alex Smith isn't a really heady business move. It's the best move to stay competitive. Maybe they're afraid of tanking. I understand. If that's your argument, then so be it. You know, they're just doing everything they can to not be terrible, so they keep filling up Arrowhead. But the best thing for business is really winning. Also, I think at this point, Clark Hunt has sort of turned over, just given the keys to the car or whatever, to Andy Reid and John Dorsey. This is as much their team as his team currently, at least in my estimation. I haven't heard much of anything about him forcing himself into the decision-making process on, say, a quarterback. If you want to look at the Sacramento Kings, we see what happens whenever that goes really terribly wrong. So I'm not going to be able to agree with that just by those factors, even before getting to the idea of I don't think he's the type of owner to try to make personnel calls. I also, though, I think that you've kind of been bitten by the bug of being a longtime Chiefs fan and knowing what that means with quarterbacks. That's historically meant retreads and average play. But I think you have to break those down into individual cases and individual pieces of not ownership, but front office personnel. Scott Pioli brought the guy that he knew. He brought Matt Cassel in. Scott Pioli also was, I think, very afraid to hurt Matt Cassel because there was never any competition for Matt Cassel. So I hope that makes sense. I understand the plight that you've been living with all these years as a Chiefs fan. I've been living it also just fewer years because I'm a child. But I think, and this is the time with Andy Reid, with John Dorsey. John Dorsey has been a quarterback drafter. With a franchise that actually traded for Brett Favre very early on. And then drafted Aaron Rodgers. And then drafted Matt Flynn. And drafted, I think the Packers drafted four quarterbacks under John Dorsey. That's off the top of my head. Don't quote me on that. But John Dorsey has shown a propensity to draft. Andy Reid drafted Donovan McNabb. Drafted Kevin Cobb, brought in Michael Vick from the outside, but that was kind of a reclamation project anyway. I think right now the Chiefs have the operators to draft guys. But whenever Andy Reid got here and John Dorsey got here, they looked at the draft and said, none of these guys are good enough. Give us Alex Smith instead. And that decision can be questioned until the end of time. I've got more things I want to talk about. I can't believe we're almost at the end of a three-hour show. I've got like at least two topics that I haven't touched on yet. Charlie says I got 2 minutes. Here's my agenda setting theory thing that I think is interesting. I've noticed a lot of women's college basketball on ESPN the last like couple of weeks, maybe last week even, because UConn won 100 games in a row. I have 1 minute now. Charlie heard me say women's college basketball and took time out of the show. God darn it, Charlie. UConn won 100 games in a row. Last night, Kelsey Plum set the all-time scoring record for women's basketball. And it made me wonder, why don't we care about women's basketball? This agenda-setting theory that I've been studying has been saying that media has the power to influence what we're thinking about. That's fairly obvious when you think about it. It's what's in front of your eyes when you think about it. Sometimes they influence how we can think about a thing. That's sort of an evolution of the theory. I don't have enough time to explain it any further. That's fine. But if we only cared about watching the best basketball, we would all just watch the NBA. It's about the culture and the atmosphere and what we know already and what we already are fond of. So I think if women's college basketball started getting more coverage, eventually that might change, although the levels of competition, you know, are uneven because UConn just owns everything. It's all very complicated. Maybe I shouldn't have come into the topic with only a minute left.
The earth is flat.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Rough and the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and ArrowheadAddict.com. I want to say thank you to the supporters of this show through Patreon.com over at Patreon.com/RTK. The $20 group, Randy Singh at Randy_Singh_ on Twitter. Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy. Derek Vaughn at D_Vaughn88 and Andy Simpson. The $10 group, Christine Roadlander at C Roadlander. And the $5 group, Josh Beadle and Ty DeClaire. Thanks again for listening to the podcast, or if you heard it first on Sports Radio 810 on Sunday morning, thanks for listening then as well. If you want to hear more of this show that goes beyond the Chiefs, you can go to 810WHB.com, go to additional programming in the podcast section, and the entire three-hour show is available. I talk a little bit about Bill Walton and the hatred that apparently was made for him among KU fans, and much, much more. If you want to hear any of that, that's 9 to noon on Sundays on Sports Radio 810WHB. I'll be back next week. Bye, Mom.
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?